Hello and welcome to African Jeopardy. My name is Ife and I'm recording from St Andrews in Scotland. Today we are going to be discussing harnessing the blue economy opportunities in Africa. And we have an amazing guest to speak to us on this topic in the person of Ambassador Nancy Karigitu. Ambassador Karigitu is Kenya's special envoy and advisor to maritime and blue economy, the immediate former principal secretary for the State Department of Shipping and Maritime Affairs in the Ministry of Mining, Blue Economy and Maritime Affairs. She currently holds the position of advisor on blue economy in the Executive Office of the President. Ambassador Karigitu's experience includes 3 terms as chair of the IMO, that is the International Maritime Organization Technical Cooperation Committee, and has been a long-serving member of the Board of Governors of the World Maritime University, WMU, as well as the IMO International Maritime Law Institute. During her 34 years professional experience, she has championed various initiatives towards the development and sustainability of the maritime sector, including but not limited to capacity building, maritime environmental protection, gender mainstreaming, as well as climate change. A champion for the integration of women in the maritime sector, she spearheaded the establishment of the Association for Women in the Maritime Sector in Eastern and Southern Africa, WOMESA, bringing together enhancing women professionals across 26 countries to mentor and coach the next generation of female leaders in the sector. Ambassador Karigitu led the creation of the Association of Maritime Administration in Africa through the transformation of the heads of maritime administrations and recently championed the development and adoption of the IMO guidelines for the prevention and suppression of smuggling of wildlife in ships. Her service to the global maritime sector has been recognized with the following awards, among others: Honorary Fellowship from the World Maritime University, Lloyd's List of 100 Influential Persons in the Shipping Industry, Africa's Most Influential Woman in Business and Government, and Africa's Woman of the Year. Ambassador Karigitu holds a bachelor's degree in law from the University of Nairobi and a master's in international maritime law from the IMO International Maritime Law Institute in Malta. Her maritime career includes 9 years' service as the first Director General of Kenya Maritime Authority and Maritime Transport Expert at the African Union. I mean, you would agree with me that this is the best person we have to speak to us on the topic of harnessing the blue economy opportunities in Africa. Welcome, Ambassador Karigetu.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity to be on your podcast and to speak to your audience. Thank you.
Thank you. I would go straight to the first question by asking you, can you tell us what is the blue economy?
Now, the blue economy generally refers to the economic activities within the waters, the oceans, the ability to generate income and build sustainable livelihoods through the use of the oceans. And for us in Africa, this includes also the inland waters, the lakes, rivers, and wetlands that a country is generally endowed with. Generally also referred to as the maritime domain. But the main thing and most important is to ensure that whatever we do, whatever activities we generate in these bodies, they are done with a view to sustainability in terms of not taking away everything and leaving for the next generation, because we owe that to the world. So that's
Thank you
about
so much.
it.
Yeah, thank you so much for that really crisp definition. The key word being sustainability to the exploration of the space, the oceans, rivers, and inland waters that the blue economy sector represents. So thank you. I want to go
Thank
straight to the point by asking the next question, which obviously is in in the African context, what are
Yes.
the opportunities, or what opportunities does the blue economy in Africa provide for the continent?
Okay, let me start by, of course, going by the theme of the podcast, to first ask ourselves about the opportunities that the blue economy provides to Africa, as well as, of course, the challenges and threats, all threats to Africa's blue economy. And to put it in context first, we recognize that Africa is the second largest continent, bounded by the Mediterranean Sea, the Red Sea, Indian Ocean, and the Atlantic Ocean. Africa's current population, by UN statistics, stands at 1.4 billion, almost, based on the latest United Nations estimates. And that makes us, as a continent, equivalent to 16.72% of the total world population. Now, the interesting thing to note is that the median age in Africa is 19.7 years, and the features show that we have rapid population growth compared to the rest of the world, high fertility rates, low median age, and of course, increasing life expectancy. But also of importance is that we have large households, sadly also widespread poverty. The maritime zones under the African jurisdiction cover some 13 million kilometers, square kilometers, and some 6.5 square kilometers of continental shelf. When it comes to the value of this space, we see that we've got the potential. We have a potential from tourism alone of $100 billion from that space. Then projected value of the African blue economy by 2030 year, by the year 2030, has been estimated at $400 billion US dollars. Now, what does this mean? Okay, let me start by saying that the annual value, if we are able to reach the optimum exploitation of the blue economy, we should have reached by 2030 combined $1 trillion.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when we combine all the areas of the blue economy that we should be able to get, tourism, fisheries, and maritime transport, logistics, everything, we should be able to get $1 trillion. And you begin to see what this means to the populations that we talked about, to the households, to the young people. Mm-hmm. And this is the reason that the African Union has described the blue economy as the new frontier for African renaissance, with all that potential for wealth creation, promotion mm-hmm. of trade, generation of economic growth, and massive transformation of lives. But then we also realize and must acknowledge, just like oceans everywhere, the African maritime domain is also under assault from pollution. We've got overfishing, plastic waste, and a warming globe. We are part of that warming world. So this calls for us as a continent. It's an imperative to work hard, for one, and also work together in order to safeguard our marine ecosystems as well as our blue resources. Because this is such an important facet of our lives. And considering how absolutely this space is essential for global trade, which is the lifeblood of nations everywhere, we know that therefore without it, without the maritime sector, then the global trade would not happen. 90% of global trade by volume, and that translates to roughly 11 billion tons annually, goes through this space that we're talking about. Yes, so what are the opportunities more? We've seen about the value and the advantages that it gives us. One of the first issues I would want to quote is the advantage that it would give us is integration. We should be able to work as one continent bound together by common interests through the blue economy because of what it means. And most important, we know that we would be able to provide numerous, or rather such a huge number of jobs for these young people that we talked about at the beginning. We know that from statistics or from information from IMO, that's the International Maritime Organization, there are more than 1.8 million seafarers, both officers and rating globally. But, you know, this doesn't include the more than 20 million workers who support or interface with the maritime industry in some capacity or other. And these are examples are the shore-based staff, the port workers, shipbuilders, and marine engineers. Now, if we were able as a continent to tap into a fraction of these jobs, then you begin to see that our standard of living, our way, you know, our way of life is improved. And this is not a bad thing. And most important, particularly with considerations of post-COVID economic recovery, this would put Africa on a very firm footing for not just recovery, but also growth, and most important, also resilience. Now, how do we tap into this? Let's start by seeing the new opportunities that are coming up with the AFCFTA, that's the African Free Trade Area, which, as we know, is one of the, when it is finally realized, it will be one of the biggest, or if not the biggest, economic bloc globally. Now, we need to see that, well, it was a very good idea for the African Union to give us this. And from the latest UNCTAD review of maritime transport, we see that the UNCTAD underscores the potential of this free trade area to increase demand for different modes of transport, including, very importantly, the maritime transport, and which in turn should be able to increase investments for infrastructure and equipment, capacity building. So we are talking of ports and ships in the case of maritime transport, and now, of course, in the case of growth for the blue economy. So this is a big step forward. And like I said, very important for regional integration and the economic development and growth for Africa. Most important because of creation of jobs for this big corpus of young people, and most important, the reduction of poverty. And therefore, the development of the blue economy will be a very important driver for achieving the AFCFTA's ambitious plans. Now, you look at the AFCFTA connecting Africa's current population and creating an economic bloc with an estimated value of 3.4 trillion. And with a global trade share of less than 3% and current intra-African trade accounting only for a mere 16% of the continent's total trade by volume, this means a lot for us. But however, like I said, huge efforts are needed into this. We see with the AFCFTA an increase of shipping demand in Africa, as well as, of course, increased linkage between African ports. Because if we look back from history, we are a continent that is connected by a corridor, I mean 16 corridors. The way we were left post-colonial, we've not increased, and therefore, because these corridors were not created necessarily with a view to integration or trading amongst ourselves, they have been a major blockage to integration and, of course, intra-African trade, and we've retained those demographics and those frameworks which haven't been very good for us. And also, we also see that our participation in the shipping industry and, you know, maritime logistics generally have remained hindered by the continent's very low fleet ownership. And this means, therefore, we have an opportunity now to cure this, to, of course, a lot of investments, because with AFCFTA, if we continue relying on foreign-owned fleets in its implementation, it will take a long time to come. So we're seeing an opportunity now, all right, see an opportunity for African-built, African-owned, African-crewed vessels to finally carry African-made products, not just over the continent, but also over the world. And this is an opportunity that we need, Africa needs to be able to exploit and, you know, take advantage of. Where does that, how does that happen? Need is there for appropriate policies, including, of course, development of an African-wide cabotage regime. This should go a long way in accelerating the achievement of an African fleet. And this is not rocket science. It's something that we should be able to do. An African fleet carrying African cargo, and of course, inter-African trade. You know, we trade so little with each other, but trade so much with other continents, and this doesn't augur well for us. So AFCFTA interconnectedness will be a very big boost for us, and it's needed because it will be able to drive economic growth and development across the continent, especially in the near coming years. I also see an opportunity for developing maritime industries and actors who will be very vital in achieving this outcome. As sea transport, we all know, offers the cheapest and fastest way of moving the largest quantity of goods across long distances. So African players, African industries will be very crucial for this. And what it means now is that right now, with the implementation of the AFCFTA, only those countries in Africa that will have or will boast better developed maritime trade capacity, as well as infrastructure, will be able to benefit more from this free trade deal. And this is one of the issues that the African Union recognized when the 2050 Africa's Integrated Maritime Strategy, as well as the revised African Maritime Transport Charter, when they were being created, these were the driving objectives, because both of them require complementary implementation in order to support the goals of the AFCFTA. But most important also to note is that there cannot be a single continent-wide market without proper logistics, efficient, effective logistics. And therefore, the operational inefficiencies that currently affect the African port sector need to be solved urgently, and also, you know, alongside the other measures that we are talking about. And one of the issues that we must do is promote development and transfer of relevant technologies, particularly in the logistics chain. And we begin to look at the logistics supply chain and the impact of technology, and how we can use technology to be much better, because it's cost effective. It goes to reducing the value of landed goods. Of course, that goes into the continent's then outflows if we are able to be able to rely on technology to be more efficient. And the first thing we note is that to date, in this day and age, with a lot of technological advancements, there's still a lot of over-reliance on paper trail on the continent. And this can be very, you know, it can bog down a trade because the paper trail begins when space is booked on a ship for cargo, and it continues until the goods are delivered at destination. And therefore, you see that the process is littered with long procedures, numerous interventions, and I think this would you would one would be right to say that this is still a feature of maritime trade in Africa. In this background, a single shipment may require numerous paperwork that sometimes needs to be physically delivered to different agencies for approval. And therefore, there is a very big need for putting in place processes that can bring in demand for up-to-date, authentic, and secure data that will aid in decision-making. For example, when you look at blockchain technology, this is very important because it's capable of adding important additional functionalities to transport and maritime information and communication technology, as well as electronic data interchange system, such as data verification, tracking, and tracing. And of course, also when you talk like this, then you need credibility of that data, which is the other thing that Africa must look at.
Yeah.
As that data goes across the transportation and logistic chain throughout the entire network, because it will help in data validation. Now, the challenge here is because we've got, as a continent, there is very slow uptake of technology, particularly in the shipping and maritime industry, as well as the logistics. This has resulted in lack of uniform electronic systems, leading to different platforms when we are trading against each, with each other. This becomes a big challenge, and therefore it contributes to the maritime industry in Africa tending to be a silo thinking, standalone middle sector instead of now integrating into the other ecosystems like roads and rail. And you find that this will not augur very well for the integration and the free trade area. Then the other thing is to look at the role of the private sector, because this is also a very critical factor to the sustainable development of Africa's blue economy, especially in a world that is increasingly moving towards greening all aspects of production. And you see the opportunity then for the private sector to play a bigger role because of the capital, for one, investments, and also bringing in efficiencies. Now, with this comes great opportunities, because if we are going green because we are of Africa's low industrialization, then you see an opportunity to have green industrialization, for one, and therefore an opportunity to become a global factory of the future. Production in Africa has always been held back because of the production costs. Because these are much higher compared to the current industrial countries, where the countries where industries take place, especially when you look at the East, Far East China, because the prices for energy, electricity are more competitive there. And for us, as a continent, this is what tops the list in terms of the charges and the costs. So if we are looking to sustainable renewable energies, and for which Africa is very well endowed with, then we should be able, as a continent, then to lower the costs of production. Because you look at the renewable energy potential in Africa remains unmatched anywhere in the world. And therefore, this presents a huge opportunity to combine industrialization with the decarbonized growth that the world is looking into. 7 of the 10 sunniest countries in the world are in Africa. Huge potential, tremendous asset for solar energy. Then also, Africa is home to 10% of the global potential for hydropower. And therefore, with these abundant renewable energy resources, industrialization without stressing the environment is possible. And this is something that we should, as a continent,
Thank you.
the continent must take advantage of. This is also complemented by other factors. Like we said, Africa's demographics are one of the biggest assets. Africa hosts right now the world's highest population of young people, not just young, but also very talented, very innovative, very bold, and people on the go, and also people who
I
have
think
demonstrated.
maybe this is actually, I mean, because at this point you have really delved deeper into helping us understand the blue economy, the idea of it, which sustainability is at the core, looked at the opportunities that it presents, looked at the challenges, looked at even the solutions to some of that challenges, and now we're back to the youths. And I wonder, I mean, this could be a good opportunity for you to then tell us, I mean, what advice do you have for the youth, as we're almost running out of time?
Oh my.
What advice? I know, because I could listen to you all day, but
Oh
the reality
my
is what I
goodness,
haven't
what
done yet.
happened?
No, I didn't say anything because I was really enjoying listening, and the way you were sort of talking about things that are interconnected, the shipping, I think the emphasis on the shipping is probably something we can speak about another time. And in terms of trying to understand whether you think the threats to piracy, for instance, might be deterring potential investors to come in. I mean, if you have time, you can touch on it. But the main thing is, what advice do you have for our youths, given the fact that you think, well, this is one of the biggest assets the continent have, how can they tap into the opportunities that the blue economy presents? Thank you.
First of all, it's for the youth to understand, because you find that the young people in Africa have very, I mean, low, they don't understand the sector as such. Because if you look at the, the images they see, for example, in fisheries, those who have grown watching their parents in fisheries, it's always subsistence, hard work. So they've not been able to visualize for a long time in many different ways how that can be life-sustaining careers and such, because of course it calls for capital. So then the other thing is the learning. We, as Africa, the continent has not embraced awareness of the maritime sector to the young people when they are young. A lot of them, even when you go out and you're talking to them, they come to discover about the sector when they are very young. I mean, sorry, when they are
Older.
old, much older. Maybe they are in at universities, they've already decided on careers, and they are almost, or not even almost, some of them, they finished university and they are wondering, why didn't I know about this? So one of the issues that as a continent must happen is to bring this awareness to young children at a very, very young age, because then they are able to decide much earlier the careers they can take into in the maritime sector when they are able to structure their lives in that manner. And of course, also they'll be also able to bring in this knowledge, this technical, the techno savvy attitude they have to bring solutions for the sector. Some of the technological solutions that we talked about, they would be able to then help us provide that. But most important, I believe, is the knowledge and at the appropriate age. And also when I said about policies from the governments, this must be one of the things that must happen. Then also you find that the maritime sector in terms of capacity building is competing with so many other sectors like health and normal education. So this is one that must be flagged out, particularly when you see the great potential that these young people should be able to bring in terms of the economies to bring to the country's development. So these are some of the things that I would urge the young people embrace. And the beautiful thing about the maritime sector is that, and which young people need to understand, they can get in at any stage. It doesn't matter. You get in on the floor. You know, if you compare this with a factory, particularly in shipping careers, yeah. You get in on the floor level, and you're able, and they're able to develop up to the top, depending on the initiatives that they put in that. And the other thing I always, when I talk to the young people, is to tell them that it's the training and the discipline needed. If they are able to go through, then they become even better citizens of the world, and of course, then for the continent. And that should be a big, big catalyst for development, wealth creation, and the improvement of livelihoods and ways of life for the continent's population.
Okay, well, thank you so much for, you know, really talking us through what the blue economy entails. I love that you emphasized the sustainability of it and how it is this new frontiers for Africa's development. I also liked how you talked us through the opportunities that is within the blue economy and emphasis, a lot of emphasis actually on shipping. You talked us through a lot of limitation, and I like that you brought in the African Continental Free Trade Zone, which is another opportunity for the continent to take advantage of maritime transport, ports, and shipping sector. I also like that you discussed the challenges and proposed solutions to it. And more importantly, I love the emphasis on youths and what they can bring to the table. And so on that note, I want to say thank you so much again for really honoring our invitation. I hope there will be other opportunities to talk to you at length, especially maybe looking at the threats of maritime security on the continent, which I know you have, you know, extensive knowledge of, not only understanding, but also contributing to solving some of those issues.
Thank you. Thank you so much for the opportunity. I really appreciate it.
And to our listeners, thank you so much for listening.
Okay.